District with Marcus Johnson at Bucks.com/plus on the Bucks app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kick off your game day with a shine. Stop by Tsunami Express Car Wash now with 7 convenient locations across greater Milwaukee, including the brand new location in New Berlin. The best part? Your very first wash is absolutely free when you sign up online. That's a $25 value on us. At Tsunami Express, you'll enjoy premium washes that protect your car, plus free vacuums and detailing tools to keep your ride looking spotless inside and out. Fast, easy, and always looking its best. Roll into the game feeling confident and clean. Claim your free wash today at TsunamiExpress.com. Tsunami Express Car Wash. Wash, chill, repeat.
Southbound on 41, we do have some backups from Appleton Avenue all the way down past Capitol Drive. The northbound side is slowing down just north of Watertown Plank Road up to about Burleigh. Eastbound 94, seeing backups from Barker Road past Brookfield Road, and then again from 84th Street all the way to about Holly Road, and again through the stadium. The westbound side's a bit tight as well, from about 35th Street to Mitchell Boulevard. And checking the TMJ4 Storm King forecast today, sunny and a high of 71. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 54 at the lake, 50 inland. From the WTMJ Traffic Center, I'm Debbie Lozaga, 94.5 ESPN.
Hey, this is Brad Nortman from KBN. Tune in to Kyle Brustin Nortman from 2 to 5 every day. WKTI and WKTI HD Milwaukee.
A locally owned Good Karma brand station.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
See what he does this time. Love from the pocket to the end zone. And Kraft has it for a Green Bay touchdown.
Would come up big in this game, and he has so far. Here he is throwing to the end zone. He's got a touchdown pass to Jaden Reed. Packers on the board again.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We had maybe 2 days of practice together, like of true practice. So imagine what it's going to look like 5 weeks from now. We've got film and we're seeing the looks that these guys are giving us and how we're going to set up. We're going to be a really scary defense.
Pass intercepted. Jumping in front of St. Brown. There was pressure from Parsons, then Evan Williams has the theft.
It looked like a shooting star just coming out of the sky and closing ground fast, which that's why he's here, right?
His Goff's being chased by Parsons. Look out! He's got him! His first sack as a Green Bay Packer. Back to Jacobs. Back to extending the record. Now 9 consecutive games with a touchdown, Josh Jacobs.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Packers get the big victory yesterday, and I do mean big. 27-13, and it wasn't even that close. It wasn't even that close. Lions put up a couple field goals and finally had a desperation touchdown in the final minute of the game. Packers dominated, I would argue, guys, in all facets. On offense, on defense, of course. Even special teams making plays, showing up. I'm not sure you could draw up a better season opener for the green and gold. Obviously 1-0 in the division against the team that you assume would be their toughest competition across the board. We have talked at nausea about the talent on the Detroit Lions, Gabe Neitzel. And that talent yesterday was, well, milk carton. It was the Packers made them look pedestrian. And maybe that's who the Lions will be all season long. Probably not. They're going to get some stuff figured out, I'm sure. But for the Packers to walk out of that game in such a dominant fashion, I'm not sure Packers fans could ask for much more this morning on a Victory Monday
game. Oh, absolutely not. You went 1-5 in the division last year. Already 1-0 this year. We talked about how they had to be better in the division this year. 1-0 with a resounding victory over the Detroit Lions. Everybody was making plays. Jordan Love was great in the first half. Josh Jacobs great in the second half. Defense great the entire game. Micah Parsons in a limited role made his presence felt. Yeah, I honestly don't know what else you could ask for out of this game.
Okay, that was a beatdown. But you got to pump a little bit.
No, bleep off. Pumping my brakes today.
We can do enjoy 24 hours, Chew.
Yeah,
I have to be the voice of reason.
This isn't the voice of reason.
These are my takeaways. These are my takeaways.
Wet blanket.
They beat them without Parsons anyways. They beat them without Parsons. I've never
seen... It's not this dominating without Parsons, though. I promise you.
Can I finish my statement?
Nope.
I've never seen the defense fly around like that. I mean, fly around. It's almost as if they had the game plan or they knew what the plays were before the Lions even ran. Did you guys notice that? I mean, they were flying around.
Yeah.
Flying around. And then you add Parsons, who's a disruptor. He made Penei Sewell an all-pro
look foolish.
A little foolish at times. Like, his footwork looked terrible. I was blown away on how much time Love had to throw.
That's a good point.
Hutchinson was like...
Nowhere.
He was a guy.
Quarterback hit was the only thing on his stat line yesterday for the Detroit Lions.
He had his leg completely reconstructed.
And this... Okay, very good point, Josh. Yes.
First time playing. Fine.
Speaking of the voice of reason.
With a leg that can't make it through.
Okay.
TSA.
But very good point about the offensive line. And we're going to bop around a little bit this morning. The offensive line was good. And they're... what would be the word we should use for the offensive line?
Dominant.
No, well, I was going to say more of the injuries that they're dealing with and sort of the uncertainty at all of the positions. It's a little bit, what's the word? Concerning would be fine. Concerning would work.
Well, because it's a short turnaround as well.
Correct. Let's shelve that for a moment and stay in the celebration space because you mentioned Micah Parsons. And Micah Parsons was all over the field. Like, I think that's what, like, you knew he was going to get doubled, but they moved him around, forced Jared Goff to make decisions faster than he wanted to. He only played, 49% of the snaps?
Yeah, he played 29.
Of 65 or something like that. So you knew that he was going to be limited as far as the snap count goes, but it feels like he made the most of those snaps. And I think the point that one of y'all made this morning was LVN looked good. Was that LVN or was that Micah Parsons helping make LVN
column
look
A,
good?
Column B, because Gary's going to benefit too.
Yeah, they all did. I mean,
but you know who I was blown away by is the interior three.
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't run the ball for, and those are two good backs, Montgomery and Gibbs.
Oh, yeah.
And they,
against
a good offensive line. It's just the defense, just the speed in which they played is, now there's things to clean up here, okay?
Yeah, we're not going to focus on that right now.
What do you think
Tuesday and Wednesday are for, pal? Tuesday and Wednesday, you can get to your, this is what we need to clean up before we take on the Washington Commanders.
Is this like a honey-do list?
No, it's just like, it's a pump the brakes list.
Put it on your whiteboard and we'll get to it tomorrow.
What's that?
Your cleanup list.
Clean up.
You don't think there's things to clean up?
But I'm not saying there's not, but I'm going to enjoy this before you
be
all over it.
But it's a long season, right, Gabe?
Yeah, it is. Okay. Absolutely it is.
Yeah, they got 19 more wins.
And I can tell you this. Detroit's going to win football games.
Yes.
But I mean, when power rankings come out, because I watched a good amount of football. Three?
Ooh.
Three or four.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Three?
You knock off the Lions in this type of dominating fashion. Again, the Lions have been consistently one of the top five teams in the league. On a lot of these lists, projecting, I think there was one that you said was weird because it had the Lions a little bit further down.
Yeah.
But for the most part, consistently, people have been saying the Lions are a top five team. Now, could those people be wrong? Certainly that's a possibility. But for the Packers to dominate them, they look like two different teams. Well, did they look like two teams in the same league?
No. No, the Packers blew them out. And in that group of six that we had been talking about, you know, coming in, hey, these are the six teams we feel are contenders. The Packers were the most dominant. Bills and Ravens played each other. Bills had an unbelievable rally last night.
Yes.
The Chiefs lost. Eagles were in a dogfight with the Cowboys. And the Packers dominated one of the other groups of six.
But I think what you're seeing with Detroit, and, you know, there was a ton of talk about it, is, man, you lose two good coaches, it's tough to replace them. Because Halfley kicked the ever-living out of their O-coordinator.
Standing ovation for Halfley. But it's just, you know, the way he used
and I was watching this because Goff was like, not Goff. That's attention to detail, man. When you don't have attention to detail, because that one pick, which was a great play by Williams, and you could see it, him just coming downhill. That's attention to detail. That's either the receiver cut his route too short or Goff was a second too late throwing the ball. That was just... I mean,
why can't it be Williams made a play?
Well, Micah made a play. Micah forced him to throw the ball faster.
Well, I'm explaining why he could, because he's responsible for the back half of the field there. Obviously, when it's in the red zone, things get truncated. But he drove on that thing. So, I mean, that was just, that was a great play. But I'm just explaining away the difference between Ben Johnson and Louis Schmaltz, whoever their old coordinator is now.
It's a new name I've never heard you make up before.
Louis Schmaltz?
Usually he has like a set of go-to names. Louis Schmaltz is the first one time I've ever
heard
you
name?
Come up with
that. What's his name?
John Morton?
Yes.
Yeah. John Morton?
Mm-hmm.
The old kicker for Denver? No, that was a beatdown. But it's a long season. You know, enjoy it, but clean things up. They got some guys hurt. Short week. You got to turn around, and you got to bring it the next week.
Micah Parsons making his Packers debut. How big of a difference maker will he be this season? If game one is any indication, guys, the answer is enormous. Maybe invaluable. He will be an enormous addition because of the way, again, we mentioned, the attention he's going to get, the way that he opens up other guys. And you just talked about it, Gabe. The pressure that he got on Jared Goff on that one allowed for an interception by a guy in the defensive back. Like, that's an obvious indication of everyone is going to benefit from his presence. I'm not sure that there has been a bigger addition for this defense in a decade. I mean, who is the biggest guy? Who has made the biggest impact? Is it like a Julius Peppers? Are we going back that far? Maybe
go back further than that. Because Julius was a good player.
But
he wasn't he wasn't Hall of Famer Julius Peppers with the Packers.
That was in Carolina.
Yeah. And even in Chicago a little bit for him. But like Julius with the Packers, solid player, really good player, wasn't defensive player of the year type guy. That's what we're talking about here. Like, he is their best defensive player since it's either Clay or Charles.
Yeah, probably Clay. Clay was a big disruptor. But, I mean, just he's going against an all-pro, and he hip-tossed him.
He ate his lunch.
Times.
He ate Penei Sewell's lunch.
Yeah.
I don't want to discredit Clay, but that was way better than Clay. Clay is not we saw from Micah.
No.
That was and I have to go back to when Bill Barnwell tweeted out about how when Micah Parsons is on the field, the Dallas Cowboys were the best defense in the NFL, and when he wasn't, they were the worst. And I don't want to discredit any of the other guys who I thought played well on the Packers defense, but it was very clear it's a gravitational force, what Micah Parsons
is. Yeah, but what they're going to do, and you saw it with Tucker Kraft, with Hutchinson, is they're going to have to bang him.
Oh, and they did.
Bang him, slow him up.
On LVN sack, he was double-teamed, leaving LVN one-on-one. He drove his guard back into Goff's lap.
Yeah.
Gary gets there as well. They end up splitting the sack. Because of all of the attention that's going, and that's why, okay, yeah, you're going to have to do that to Micah to try to slow him down, and everybody else then has to step up.
Yes.
And they're getting these really good matchups, at least they did yesterday, and they were able to win those matchups.
Imagine if they play a worse offensive line.
Yeah, imagine if Penei Sewell's not on the other team.
Yeah. No. Great win. Feel good. Watch the film, correct the mistakes, on to the next one. Right?
Yeah, for you.
Well, that's just what you do.
No, that's what you do.
No, that's what they're going to do today.
Yeah, guess what? I don't care what they're going to do
today.
I'm
not them or you.
Okay.
Let me ask you guys this, though.
I'm going to bask in the glory that is this Packers defense.
After such a dominant performance by the defense, because let's stay in that space for now, and I think we mentioned it, like holding that run game, Chewy, to under 50 yards, you mentioned two talented backs.
Yeah.
2.1 yards per carry.
Is this possibly a defensive team?
It is. It's not even possible. It's a defensive first team. This defense is better than the
balanced.
Offense.
It's balanced. Offense was still solid, man. Yeah. They moved the ball around. They threw it well. They didn't run it great. Rob made some mistakes.
Well, but they came in trying to stop the run, right? They said they knew that they were going to try to take Josh Jacobs away, and they did for the most part.
Until the second half. Second half, Josh Jacobs took over the game.
They were still 3.1 per rush.
Because he was in his first six carries, he had 8 yards. Yes. His first six carries, 8 yards.
Yeah.
Last 13, he had 58.
Yeah.
Or he went from whatever, you know, just over a yard a carry to 4.5 a carry in the second half.
Yeah. But this is what LaFleur does very good at the beginning of the season. Schemes guys open. And that's, you know, the throw to Reed.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a simple pick play.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch it, it's just, I mean, they could call that. The one thing, if you watch Wicks, is he just stopped and turned around and looked. You get your ass chewed for that. I'm just telling you what they're going to correct again.
Yeah, you set the pick correctly. You turned around and looked.
Sure, but again, the fact that we were concerned about Jaden Reed's health and the foot going into this game and how much he would be able to contribute and the fact that he found the end zone, that felt like a win.
And Dobbs looked like a one. Not the best receiver in the league, but he certainly looked like a one yesterday. Had some good catches.
Ran some good routes, that's for sure. 800-990-3776. How good can this team be if Micah Parsons et al. Defense have that type of performance week in and week out? Because Gabe says this is a defensive first team. The way that it is constructed right now, Jeff Hafley, the way that he's moving guys around, the way that he's using the weapons that he has, this is a defense first team. I got to be honest, guys. When is the last time the Green Bay Packers were a defense led team? I mean, this came up yesterday on the broadcast of the Steelers Jets game because those are two notoriously defense first teams and they put up about 40 points each.
Yeah, they naturally just had the lone shootout of the, until last night, the lone shootout of the weekend.
That's true, yeah. The Bills Ravens game was a wild one.
Bills Ravens got out of control. This is. The last time they were probably defensive first was 2010 when they won the Super Bowl.
Not at the beginning of the year, though.
No, The entire year they were.
They finished
second in points allowed.
Okay.
They finished second in points allowed at the end of the year. Well, because the offense was beat up. Like, Rodgers had concussion. He had to miss the game. Like, that defense, the Packers never trailed by more than 7 points in any game all that year. In 2010.
That defense
is criminally underrated in the history of the Packers. Like, Rodgers wasn't quite Rodgers yet. Like, he was really good and obviously blossomed during the playoff run. But that defense was awesome. That defense gave up 15 points per game.
Well, this one looked awesome yesterday.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's the best defense since then.
Yeah.
800-990-3776. You can weigh in all morning long here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Victory Monday. Lots of stuff to get to this morning. I know these guys want to talk about Matt LaFleur and a thing that he does in some of these games. We'll talk about that as the show goes on. We're talking about Micah Parsons. We're talking about the defense. We'll get to the offense as well, talking all things green and gold as they beat the Lions yesterday at Lambeau Field. We'll be right back after this.
It is a Victory Monday brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian, just to name a few. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview. The way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney. Ringo farted and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you're looking to bring more organization and beauty to your home, I cannot recommend Closets by Design enough. So you guys know I got a lot of clothes because I've been doing television for 25 years. And at some point, it got overwhelming. Too much. Chaos. Anxiety. All of the things. So I called Closets by Design and Doug and his team came out and they just redid the whole space. And now it is calming and peaceful and organized and all of the things that I need. And I'm sure that some of you listening out there are thinking of a place in your home right now that could use a little TLC. Call Closets by Design in Mequon. It is time to get organized. Tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
So it's just going to keep ramping up. I think this is just, we've had maybe 2 days of practice together, like of true practice. So imagine what it's going to look like 5 weeks from now when we've got film and we're seeing the looks that these guys are giving us and how we're going to set up. We're going to be a really scary defense.
I got goosebumps.
You don't want them to be too good, though.
What are you talking about?
You want to lose Halfley?
Well, that might be a byproduct. That's an unintended consequence. Yes, if they win the Super Bowl, Halfley might go. Halfley might take a job.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I'll send you off for a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You would?
Duh.
Well, I was thinking two. No?
No.
You think you can get him to stick around?
I mean, to me, it's just like he had their call sheet. You know?
Well, yeah, when you've got, and again, I know he only ended up playing half of the plays, but when you have somebody like Micah Parsons, who's just a game wrecker, like that just makes the reason why teams pay what they do for elite pass rushers is because they make everyone better around them.
That's what you saw yesterday.
But and that's exactly
look,
what you
if,
saw.
If you look, and this is a byproduct of Micah Parsons, I mean, Goff was 31 for 39. That's pretty damn good, right?
Yeah.
31 for 39.
Four?
But they only had 200 yards.
Dink and dunk city.
That's because you can't run 5 and 7 step drops.
Yep.
Correct.
And the Packers will go, yeah, dink and dunk all day long. Because the other thing under Halfley, they've been a really good tackling team.
They dink and dunked their way to 2 field goals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, dink and dunk all you want, but if you can't put it in the end zone, it's kind of a moot point.
Yeah.
Lots of reaction rolling in this morning, guys, as we knew it would. An excited fan base this morning as the Packers beat the Lions at Lambeau Field, improve their record, of course, to 1-0, but most importantly, 1-0 in the division against a team that we assume is going to be their toughest competition in the NFC North. And look, we'll reserve judgment officially until we watch the Bears and the Vikings tonight on Monday Night Football. But let's see, we got Chef Ed weighing in saying, I was most impressed with the way the defensive players flew to the ball and group tackled. Meanwhile, Ryan says, LV looks like an actual player now. Going to be an exciting year for our defense. Hard to say how good we can be since it's only week one, says Colin, but I think the Lions will regress this year. Lions had our number last year, and it feels really good to dominate them in the season opener. Gabe, you were out there at Lambeau Field. You got to interact with some of the fans. I mean, generally speaking, one, just announcing Micah Parsons as the last player to take the field, the ovation, the noise, I'm sure that that was a goosebump-inducing moment there. And then as people were leaving the field, as they were leaving Lambeau Field, the giddiness, the excitement, the jovial nature of what they had just seen, how did that hit you?
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, the Lions had won 3 in a row at Lambeau. The one game that the Packers have won with Jordan Love at quarterback since he took over against the Lions was in Detroit. Lions have eaten here. Last year dominated the Packers. Dominated the Packers. In the first half, yeah, they had a second half comeback, tried to make that thing look a little bit closer, but to flip the script completely, it gave everybody, I don't want to say it's a renewed hope, because the energy level was high after the trade for Micah Parsons, but then to see it all work out the way that you thought it possibly could work out with that guy leading the defense, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know how you could feel better walking out of that game.
Sure,
yesterday.
But the Lions are going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out. And these two teams are going to be there in the end.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be a fight for the division.
You can't lose the tiebreaker now.
Exactly. This is why it's so important to win the division.
Because
then Detroit comes to you instead of us going to Detroit.
And we talked about this start to the season, right? Like, man, that's a rough start for the team. All right. You're hoping. You can win both games. But if you go 1-1, you're still going to feel good.
Sure.
0-2, and it's panic city, right? 5 days into the season, because 90% of the time, teams that go 0-2 don't make the playoffs. Who cares? I mean, obviously, I want to win this next game against the Commanders, but you won this one.
But do you buy
at
in?
At worst, you're going
to
go 1-1.
Do you buy into a big difference in this Lions team? Is their O and not so much their D coordinator, but their O coordinator?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
that was the big question that Jared Goff had to answer to, because he's a starting level quarterback in the NFL, sure, but one of the best coaches in the league, and Sean McVay decided he couldn't win a Super Bowl with him, needed to upgrade that position. And then Goff just had career year after career year with Ben Johnson and his OC.
Yes.
So can Which Jared Goff are we going to see? The one with Ben Johnson or the one that was there before? And we saw the one that was out in Los Angeles that Sean McVay decided, I can't win with this guy. I need somebody else to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Halfley kicked the crap out of him, which is what you should do because Halfley's a great coach, you know?
And they have great players.
At multiple positions, right? Like
you're talking Detroit.
I'm talking Packers have great defensive
players at multiple positions. Obviously, Micah Parsons is going to steal most of the oxygen in that conversation. But it feels like we've quickly forgotten about Xavier McKinney and how excited we were about Xavier McKinney coming and playing the safety position for the Green Bay Packers and what Jeff Halfley could do with Xavier McKinney. We've barely mentioned Edgerrin Cooper, who was one of the best players on the field yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, to be able to stack that and go level one, level two, level three, great players. Now, I don't know that they'll all be all pros. I don't know if it'll shake out that way, but I feel very confident with the talent they have collected and how all of them can be elevated with Micah Parsons on the field. By the way, side note, hello. If you were watching that Ravens-Bills game last night, you saw a familiar face out there in the secondary for the Ravens, Jair Alexander, who got absolutely cooked late in the game on those critical plays when the Bills were driving and trying to make it a game that ultimately led to their win. Like, that felt like another win for Packers, didn't it? As you're watching that game, didn't it feel like a win? Like, oh, yeah, Jair.
He's on the backside. He might be farther than the backside.
Yeah, I mean, dealing with the knee injury, but
yeah,
looked like a guy who's missed a lot of games and has been dealing with a lot of injuries.
But those are two teams that are going to be there in the end. I know they're in the AFC.
Yeah,
but there's six teams that are going to be there in the end.
That we think, yeah, and the Packers looked the best out of all of them yesterday.
Number one,
defensively. I mean, there's still
complete
stuff that,
game.
There's still stuff to clean up
play,
offensively.
Yeah, I know, but play a complete game. They were the only one who dominated their opponent of those six teams.
Yes.
Only one who dominated their opponent.
So could they be higher than three? It'll be Philly one. It'll be Philly one.
If you want to say they're higher than three,
Ravens will be up there, right?
Yeah, Ravens might be two.
Even though the Bills beat them yesterday?
Excuse me, the Bills might be two.
Okay.
After winning that game over the Ravens.
Okay.
But yeah, the Packers
top five
be three.
For sure. Top five for sure, yeah. Right? We're all in agreement that when the power rankings come out tomorrow, the Packers will be top five.
Yeah.
Chewy is saying he thinks he could be in that number three position. Yeah. Joshy, what poll did you put up to start the show this morning on the Infinity Exteriors poll?
Are the 2025 Green Bay Packers a defense first team? Early results? A little disappointed, honestly. Only 87% of people agree with us.
One game, pump the brakes, relax.
But this is a great defense. It's a great defense, Chew.
They had a great first game, yes.
What are
they
your
had
concerns?
A great first game.
What are your concerns?
Injuries. You're always concerned about injuries.
Yeah, okay. But everybody's concerned about injuries.
No,
like
I know.
It's the NFL.
But
like,
you know
injuries,
what? Injuries are
happen.
A part of a game.
Yeah.
It determines how good you're going to be at the end of the year.
Sure, but like, give me an actual reason. Because everybody's
what,
concerned
what
about injuries.
What was your biggest takeaway from this game? Give me your biggest takeaway. One.
Oh, number one?
Yes.
With the bullet, it's not even close. Micah Parsons is the guy we thought he is. In the 29 snaps he played,
see,
he
I'm
was
going
such
somewhere
a difference
different.
Maker.
I was absolutely blown away on how Detroit had zero pressure on the quarterback. And there was all the talk of Rashid Walker and is he good enough? Offensive line was... there was no pressure on him whatsoever.
Yep.
You know, Hutchinson looked like a guy. Now, he might need a couple games to get his feet under him because of that injury. It was pretty devastating, but, I mean, Love had all day to throw. And from a place where I was, everyone knew Micah Parsons was great, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not yesterday. We didn't think he was that great, but he looks dominant. But
no,
we said a big concern going into the season was offensive line. Offensive line.
Offensive line depth. And even that got tested yesterday, right? Because I feel good. I feel good about their top six. Like, their top six is as good as you could ask for in the league. Where it gets sketchy is after that.
Yeah.
And one of those guys had to play. Because you had the injury to Banks and Tom. No injury update after the game from Matt LaFleur. We'll see if he has anything today. And the tough part is it's a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Quick turnaround, having to play Washington. Luckily, it's just here in Green Bay. But yeah, that is a concern going forward. Is okay, how healthy are those two? Because if we were concerned about the depth and now two of your starters can't go in week two, yeah, that is a problem.
Josh, the good news is the Washington Commanders pass rush is shaky at best. That's not a team. You know, when you think about the best pass rushers in the league,
yeah,
they don't have them.
But on a short week, with
I understand.
Maybe two guys.
But my point
out,
is, if the offensive line was able to look that good this week against what we assume is one of the best pass rushers in the league, mm-hmm. albeit coming off of the injury, yes, and Hutchinson. You know, I'm looking towards Myles Garrett. I'm looking towards playing the Steelers. I'm looking towards playing the Eagles. I'm looking towards some of those teams that have a lot more success getting to the quarterback, putting pressure on the quarterback this week. And I'm not saying it's going to be a cakewalk by any means because the Commanders are good. But from a pass rush standpoint, they're not as good as some of the other teams the Packers
Correct.
Will face this year.
Yeah.
Dorrance Armstrong had a pretty good game yesterday for Washington.
What did he have?
He had a sack, but he also had nine pressures.
Fine.
He had nine pressures yesterday.
It's a lot. They look fine, but...
Washington?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing...
The line will be... My guess line will be five.
I think it's three. I saw three and a half.
Is it really? It'll get the five. Do you want to pivot on, and I'll give you this opportunity, but this is the last opportunity, on how they're going to approach the receiver
room
here?
No, you'll be wrong.
You want to change that or no?
Nope, you'll be wrong. I'm standing as Pat. He played 56% of snaps in his first game in the NFL.
It'll be done by committee, which is good because everyone was involved and it's much tougher.
The only thing I didn't anticipate was Jaden Reed somehow just being healthy and good.
Right.
he only played 18 snaps.
Yeah.
That's it?
It's all Jaden Reed.
The guy was limping like 4 days ago.
Did you see, by the way, what Emeka Ibuka did with Tampa Bay?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Caught a game-winning touchdown
pass.
4
of 6, 67 yards, 2 touchdowns in the 23-20 win. Buccaneers over Falcons.
I was a little surprised by Golden returning punts and Savion returning
kicks. Golden returned punts and then Reed returned punts. They were kind of doing that by committee, too.
Savion, as you mentioned, out there.
But I was surprised they had him. Because he had, an end around? Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a jet sweep.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think he would be involved at all.
I'm telling
you, how can't you say they're going to do it by committee? One more shot. That's it.
No, you're going to be wrong. All right. It's pretty simple.
Okay.
I know.
Gabe's already coming around.
It's not 1996 anymore, but there's an elite talent out there.
Well, they didn't do it by committee in 1996 either, no matter how much he wants you to believe that.
Oh, they did. Stop looking.
Stop looking what? I don't know that Antonio Freeman was your guy's go-to receiver. Like, that's some sort of big mystery. Yeah, you guys went to committee after Free got hurt and broke his arm.
Oh, so it's two on one? Is
Robert,
that what we're doing?
And Robert tore his ACL.
And then Biebs.
So just to be clear here, we need to tamp down our expectations and not get too high. But you get a wide receiver one who plays 56% of snaps and you won?
Yeah, because it was by committee. Two catches, three catches, 2-2-2, 1-1-1-1-1. That's committee.
But you don't understand what I'm saying.
We're talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
Committee. Josh is saying eventually, as the season goes on.
I just don't think so. What do you think?
I don't know, but this is fun.
Yeah.
Jen's just kicking back as we just try to get jab shot in your ribs.
I do like this comment from Ryan from Iguanago on the Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776. He says, Chewy better stop being Debbie Downer about the win, or Gabe and Josh are going to split a sack.
Debbie Downer? How about a real... You know, who was that? Who in Iguanago?
Ryan.
Loyal listener.
Ryan, they don't go into meetings today and go, look at that play. Yeah! Look at that. Wonderful.
I bet they do with Micah.
No, they don't. Mm-hmm. Well, I can just speak for the offense.
Dude, they might do that on the defensive side.
You know
side,
how Matt LaFleur hands out game balls? That clip is obviously circulating on social media. The Packers put it out. A bunch of people have put it out as well. The vibes were immaculate.
Who'd they give a game ball to?
They didn't mention it specifically. It's interesting. They did cut out... And then they didn't tell us who got the offensive game ball either. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
They were talking about the defense.
I'll tell you who should get the game ball.
Offensive
Jeff
line?
Halfley.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fine with it.
Are we experiencing a little 96 fear that this team
might come? I saw someone said that.
Where?
It's just that team was...
I sent that in the group.
Our team was...
Yeah, I believe Tausch said that on...
It was a caller.
Oh, it was a caller. Yes. Caller said it on Green Bay Game Night.
I was like, where would Chewy have read that?
Wasn't it in the text chain?
It was in the text chain.
Yeah, I sent it to the text chain.
But we were such a veteran team where this is a young team. I mean, today's standards, we probably would have been the oldest team in the league. Right?
Guess we're ancient.
Yeah, we are old. But old is sometimes good.
Michael weighing in saying it's embarrassing the number of Lions fans who are in the stands. Selling your tickets to opposing fans is a crime. You should be banned from Lambeau for life. Lose your season tickets immediately. We're going to dive into that also this morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But for now, we'll take a break. Roll on right after this. Let me tell you guys about my friends over at the We Sell Group. If you are looking for a home or maybe you're ready to sell, I cannot recommend the folks at the We Sell Group enough. Rob and Nick have been incredibly patient with our family as we continue looking for a lake house. And look, it can be a very daunting and exhaustive experience, but when you have people like Rob and Nick, it feels like you can navigate all of the challenges, all of the bumps that come along the way. You know, we liked a house, we went to look at the house, all of a sudden Nick tells us, or Rob tells us rather, oh, the house has been sold, somebody bought it. Well, just in the time when we were looking at it, that happens sometimes. But when you have a group like the We Sell Group, it feels like, all right, we're going to find it, because they have been patient and they have been helpful and they can do the same for you. Start your journey today at wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com. And tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. You all right back there?
That's so true.
It was a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
There's not a, no, she got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third has been shaping the future for businesses for 167 years and for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee. We offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making, and extensive experience to help you navigate the ever-changing business landscape with your business in mind. At Fifth Third, we're big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, yet empowered to make local decisions and build strong community connections. Experience the commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
I think it just goes to show you the depth we have at, you know, receiver, tight end, and running back. You know, we got playmakers all around and guys that can all come in here and catch the rock and make plays. So, you know, I think that's what you want as an offense, be able to spread the wealth around and, you know, keep the defense on their heels on who we're going to be targeted, things like that. But it just comes down to all those guys, you know, being dialed in, going out there making plays. And but I think it just shows you the depth we have at all those positions.
10 different receivers hauling in passes from Jordan Love in the 27-13 win over the Lions. Chew.
Yes.
You think you can name them all?
The receivers?
Yeah, everybody that caught a ball yesterday from Jordan Love. You think you can name them all?
Yeah. Ready? Dobbs, Wicks, Golden, Musgrave, Kraft, Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
How many is that?
You've got one, two, three, four left, I believe. Right? Or do you see five?
I see three more.
Oh, yeah, he got Musgrave.
Yeah. So he's got the bottom three.
Reed.
I already said him.
I did?
Yeah.
La, la, la.
This is where I thought it might get tricky.
You named the tight end.
Oh, the third string running back. Who actually lost yardage. That's good enough.
Chris Brooks is the name.
Chris Brooks,
for.
There you go. Yep, uh-huh. That's seven.
And the tight end.
Oh, Fitzpatrick.
There
oh.
It is.
Yeah. And in the flat.
And?
One more.
You've already mentioned his name on the show this morning.
It was technically, the play you mentioned was technically a pass.
Oh, Savion Williams.
There it is. Yeah. All 10 of the Packers receivers. I figured since he stares at the box score the whole show, I figured there was a chance.
Well, love, because if you look at this, Gabe, if we did our little trick there with team stats.
Your team stats, yeah.
Ah, man, I wouldn't really know, because the things that are glaring to me, the Lions' third down efficiency is terrible, 5 for 15. The total plays was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Quick game. What was 65-47? Packers only had 47. Obviously, the yards, 266 to 246. That is low. Rushing turnovers were only one. So you would think on paper, just by looking at this, it would have been a closer game.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And actually,
close at all.
The score doesn't do it justice.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
It doesn't.
No. It, I mean, it should have been 27-6.
After reading this box score, there's no way I would have, because the game really should have been about 27-7.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed that 100%. Just by looking at this box score.
So there is one thing that has sort of emerged from the Matt LaFleur offense. Gabe, you have noticed this, and we all admitted that the offense took a bit of a dip, took a bit of a lull in the second half. What did you notice about the way Matt LaFleur approaches those situations?
Well, after they had the, so Chewy, when we were discussing this, you are right, I got the order wrong. So in the third quarter, Jordan Love almost throws an interception, just lobs one out to the flat that should have been picked up. Like, should have been an interception.
Yeah.
Luckily, the guy drops it. On the very next play, has one that was picked off, but it gets nullified because of a penalty. And after that, Matt LaFleur goes, oh, we're up by a ton in this game?
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and run the football because our defense is so dominant. The only way we're losing this game is if we turn the football over. So he just kind of turtles up, goes into his little run the ball shell, and it still worked. I mean, they scored a touchdown after that, and Josh Jacobs was fantastic. But in the taking out the last drive where they took a couple, inexplicably ran a play before they decided to take a knee, that was just really strange. But in the plays after the interception that was nullified, the Packers passed the ball three times, called another pass play that Love ended up scrambling on, and ran it 12.
Mm.
But this is what LaFleur's going to do. Everyone's, oh, why is Chewy a Debbie Downer? Why is he a Debbie Downer? Because you look at this game.
Why is your Debbie Downer the narwhal from?
No, that wasn't. So if you look at this game, right, they don't get the pick, right, on the 5-yard line or whatever it is, right? And they score there.
If the Lions score.
It's a different game. And then, then you look, and if they didn't throw a flag on the pick six, this is a different ball game. So, yes, they dominated. It looked good. But there's still things to clean up.
Yeah.
And that's what you do today.
And that's what Tuesday and Wednesday are for on this show.
No, it's
not. Today is for celebrating
my rule,
the ass-whooping that the Packers gave the Lions yesterday.
My rule is, what do I always say?
Never get too high, never get too low.
Never get too high, never get too low.
But bleep that. Let's get to
yeah!
That's a self-assigned rule. No one's asking you to do that.
So do you have concerns about Jordan Love? Do you have concerns? Because he looked really good in the first half, and he was connecting with all of his guys, and we just talked about how 10 different receivers had catches, made big plays for the Packers. Are you concerned that he is going to hit that lull and that a team maybe more prepared, maybe a team that doesn't have a brand new offensive coordinator and a brand new defensive coordinator can somehow take advantage of that lull? Do you like the way that Matt LaFleur approaches it where he says, oh no, I don't want to lose this game. We're going to lock it up. We're going to run the ball because we don't want to turn it over and give them an opportunity to get back in.
I'm okay with him turtling up when you have the big lead they did yesterday and doing it late in the game. I don't have any concerns about Jordan Love. Spoiler alert, he's going to make some bad decisions this year. He's going to throw a pick or two. All right, that's just going to happen. That's just part of what this is. So I'm not concerned about Jordan Love at all. And I'm fine when, again, you can run the ball the way they did, especially late in the third quarter, into the fourth quarter, and you go away with it. The only issue I have is when LaFleur turtles up in the first half. And I think of the playoff game, Chewy, that you like to mention when they were the number one team in the power rankings, the number one team in the NFC, and they scored 10 points at home in a playoff game because they started out fast, scored a touchdown right away, get out to midfield, and then Mercedes Lewis fumbles the football near midfield, and Matt LaFleur goes, oh, it's cold. Let's just stay conservative. Our defense is playing awesome, but we'll still be able to win this game. Like, that's when I have an issue with it, when it affects what he's doing early in games. Late in the game with a lead like this, going conservative is just smart because you want to run out the time. You want to shorten the game as best you can. And that's what Josh Jacobs is for. Josh Jacobs is a bruising back that's there to close out games for you. That's what, that's to me, the main role for Josh Jacobs is getting those tough yards like he did yesterday. Yeah, first half wasn't great. 6 carries, 8 yards. 13 carries, 58 yards in the second half. He was so much better. The offensive line was so much better running the football in the second half. So the way it played out yesterday, I do not have an issue with. But it has bitten Matt LaFleur before, but when he's kind of gone into his turtle shell.
But this is a team that's one of the six elite, right? And you can't have a hiccup, because at the end of the year, we all know it comes down to one game. One game seeding, one
game.
You're
going to have a hiccup, Chew.
One game. No, I'm saying like this week against the Washington. Hold on, listen to me.
Okay.
Like one game determines who gets the bye, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't have a slip up. So like this week, yeah, everyone's high as a kite, right? But if they go without Tom and Banks, quick turnaround, short week, they should win this game. You can't have a hiccup, you know? That's why I say you can never get too high, never get too low. You watch it, you celebrate it last night, you flush it, and then you move on. You can't lose to like a Washington and be coming towards the end of the season going, man, we should have beat Washington.
Just out of curiosity, if they do lose to Washington, wouldn't you be able to point to the things that you just mentioned? Again, depending on how the offensive line depth shakes out this week, short turnaround, but the Commanders are coming off the same short turnaround.
Yeah, and
right?
They have to travel. It's worse for Washington because, yes, they played early yesterday, but they're the ones who have to get on the road and travel to Green Bay. The Packers.
I'm just saying, you don't want to be fat cats, right?
Oh, correct. And
you
got to
move
on. Will.
You got to correct your stakes. Move on. It's a long ass season.
And honestly, what I'm really excited for is to see what this defense does against a different type of quarterback.
Yes.
You know, like Jared Goff. Nobody is going to confuse him for a mobile quarterback.
No.
Jane Daniels is. So I'm curious to see, because the big excuse everybody loved to use last year. Why can't the Packers generate a pass rush? Well, they're just kind of mush rushing because the guy's athletic and they can't get pressure that way. They don't want to lose their... they came up with every excuse they possibly could. Nah, not when you got Micah Parsons, man. When you got Micah Parsons, you can still get after the quarterback, even if they're as athletic as Jaden Daniels. So that's what I'm excited to see.
We could do it in 96 because we were so good. We just imposed our will on teams.
And that's what I think this team can do.
That's
defensively.
What I'm saying.
That's what I'm hoping they can
do. Well, that's what you're hoping.
Yes. I think they can. But again, they have to prove it.
I would argue that the evidence yesterday is a data point in the four column.
Mm-hmm.
There's a data point in the they can do this. Can they do it consistently? That will, of course, be the question. Ryan from Milwaukee saying, I thought Matt LaFleur went too conservative to start the second half. Lions kick a field goal and then we went three and out on three straight runs. I think it was two three and outs for the Green Bay Packers.
He said three
after
straight
the...
runs.
Oh.
Like they ran the ball three consecutive times. And the third one, I believe, the one he's mentioning was to Chris Brooks.
Maybe he's trying to get Jacobs going,
that's
but I thought
issue.
It was too conservative.
I thought they got like 7 yards on the first one. It's like, okay, I understand
and then
why you're running.
Like four.
Yeah.
Too conservative to start the half. Do you agree with Ryan from Milwaukee? Did Matt LaFleur go too conservative in the second half? Or was that just good game strategy? Let us know, 800-990-3776.
Looking for a new car, truck, or SUV? Take the nearest exit to Ewald Automotive for the 2025 model year clearance pricing. Save over $14,000 or get 0% financing. All makes, all models over 720. 25's in stock with model year clearance pricing and with the Ewald low price guarantee. They'll beat your best price on any new vehicle by $500 or they'll give you $500 cash. Ewald is the place you need to trust. There is a reason I have trusted them for well over a decade. Ewald, they make it easy. Check out the Ewald model year end clearance sales events. When they're gone, they're gone. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times.
I know.
Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But
there was
I don't.
An incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
For your next big event, Noble Catering has to be your first call. So it's the Eastern Wisconsin's premier craft caterer, preferred by over 30 venues in the area. And coming in the spring of 2026, Noble's new headquarters, Brixton's Turn, a 400-person event venue located in the heart of Bayview's Harbor District. Have beverage needs for that upcoming party? Neat Beverage Catering offers mobile bartending to elevate the event. For all your catering needs for any special event, please go to noblecateringco.com.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. Is this now a defensive first team? With the addition of Micah Parsons and the talent they have on that unit, Are you confident saying that this is a defense-first team? Let us know, 800-990-3776. We go out to the phone line where we find Josh in Madison. Good morning, Josh. Your reaction to the big win yesterday over the Lions.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm very impressed with the Packers. I'm very impressed with the defense. And I think Gutekunst is a genius because, you know, if you have that pass rush that you're able to get to the quarterback, your secondary, your corners and your safeties don't have to cover these receivers for as long because they're making the quarterback throw the ball faster. And we're talking about the fastest people on this planet that the defense has to – and the defense actually has to be faster than the offense because they have to run backwards and the offense gets to run forward. So having that pass rush and Micah Parsons making – quarterbacks off their rhythm and having to throw the ball sooner or having to throw the ball away because of the pressure is really going to help the Packers. But my call really is more about Jordan Love. I feel Jordan Love is a great quarterback. He has so much potential, but this season and especially going into the playoffs is going to be really, really important for Jordan Love to stay consistent because I feel like 1 to 2, maybe 3 times a game, he throws passes that just gives the defense an opportunity to get back in the game. And yesterday, you know, there was a couple passes that were nearly picked off and should have been picked off. And I just feel like some of those throws you can't make. And so that's what makes me nervous about Jordan Love, but at the same time, like, my hat's off to him. The guy's done an outstanding job.
Josh, we appreciate the call. Call back anytime. Let's hear from Jordan Love, who I believe recognizes his importance, his significance on the success of the team.
You know, for me, for everybody, that's what I said. That's the goal. That was our mindset coming in is we got to start fast. And obviously, you know, everything starts with me being able to go out there and, you know, be as accurate as possible and make great decisions with the ball. So I think we did a great job, and I'm definitely happy about the way we were able to get rolling early, make some big-time plays.
It's such a sweet spot, isn't it, Gabe? The idea of being an aggressive quarterback who's going to go for the end zone, who's going to go for that play that makes a difference. You know, I think about a guy like Baker Mayfield, right? He's sort of got that reputation as well. He's going to sling it, right? But you watch the game yesterday, and Baker Mayfield leads them on a game-winning drive, and they, you know, with 50-whatever seconds left, and they go on to win that game against the Falcons. You want the guy who has that in his DNA. I guess the important part is knowing when to tap into it.
Yeah, it's always funny because I remember part of the and I don't even know why this was part of the criticism for Aaron Rodgers at different points in his career with the Packers. Oh, he doesn't throw enough interceptions. He's not being risky enough with the ball. Like, what? Among the league leaders in touchdown passes every year. What are we talking about here? You want to be able to make those big splash plays, but take care of the football. Like I said, he's going to throw an interception. It's going to happen. He's going to throw 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 interceptions this year. And it's just having that consistent level. He played great yesterday. QBR of 92.1, quarterback rating of 128.6. All right, can you sustain that level when you play great teams? Not that he's going to play 17 great games, because quarterbacks are going to have off games. Brett Favre won MVPs. Aaron Rodgers won MVPs. They probably had 2 or 3 bad games in those seasons. Those are the teams that your team typically loses. So it's a matter of, yeah, taking care of the football, but he's done that. 8 straight regular season games without an interception for Jordan Love. Continue to do that. Continue to keep the ball out of harm's way, but still take the shots like he did to Romeo Doubs, like he did to Jaden Reed.
There's things you got to clean up, but which is what they'll do today. You know, it's just he's got to know the situation because, like, if there wasn't a flag, that they keeps him still alive.
I'm more upset by the one before that, Chu. Because, like, the one with Branch, like, Branch made a diving interception. Yeah, like, diving interception. Like, it was a great play.
Yeah.
The throw before that was just inexplicable.
Yeah.
Also, the flag was to the side that he threw it. So, to say Jordan probably saw that flag wouldn't be shocking.
No. Possibly.
I have a feeling Romeo Doubs was the main guy on that route, if I were to guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is a Victory Monday brought to you by Palermo's, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. Again, Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, Screaming Sicilian, Stranger Things, Cheez-It. These are just some of the pizzas that Palermo's makes. Keep an eye out in your local grocer's freezer.